This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, last hour of the week, we're in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Get my picks for Saturday and Sunday at PharrellOnTheBench.com. They're all there. They're all ranked. And, you know, lick them up. I mean, it's good to go like ice cream. So you get NBA, NHL, everything. You get it all. Go to PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's cheap. You'll love it. The return is fat stacks. Don't forget Pharrell on the Bets, my Westwood One sports betting podcast. It airs every Tuesday through Sunday. So Saturday is episode 47. Sunday is episode 48. They drop in the morning. You can get them on iTunes or anywhere good podcasts are available. Make sure you go on Apple Podcasts and give us a five-star review. Follow us at On the Bets, WWO. It's Pharrell on the Bets on Westwood One. Check it out Saturday and Sunday. All right, one other thing. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, or boat insurance? Get it all at geico.com. Mavi, it says here, going up the country, save money on your motorcycle insurance. Is that when you're leaving? You're going to go riding your motorcycle up the country?
Maybe next week. A little too cold this weekend.
All right. It was 62 degrees outside when we got out of the car. You said it was nice, and you wish you were riding your bike, and now you've changed your tune?
Well, now the temperature's dropped.
All right. It's supposed to be raining as well when we get out of here tonight.
Never good riding in the rain.
No. Carver High going to Pennsylvania tomorrow.
Yes, early in the morning.
Very excited for that.
Big trip over there.
Big family wedding.
Correct.
Do you even like the people?
Yeah, I mean, it's my cousin, my uncle, you know.
Your uncle's son?
Daughter.
Daughter. All right, congratulations to the happy couple. I wanted to mention one other thing. 6 minutes left in the game in Vegas, and the crappy UNLV Rebs are giving Air Force all they can handle, so I'm going to take back that the Rebels are crappy because they're about to cover. They're getting 13. They're down 7. If they score here, they tie the game, correct? And they are in scoring distance. They have a shot here.
Yeah, but they're covering against 2-4 Air Force. They're not beating Alabama here.
Mafia, I'm getting a flash note here about a traffic problem going home.
I'll look into it.
That's what we usually do anyway, right?
That is correct.
All right, so we'll go that way per usual. And avoid the other way. Apparently, there's some wreck there. We don't want to be involved in that. Remember the one night we got stuck in the
we usually don't go that way tonight anyway because of all the traffic getting out of the city. We usually go up the west side.
But now, so if we went out of the Lincoln Tunnel, that's where the problem would be.
Correct.
So we should go the west
go
side.
North.
Go north.
Go north.
Do you remember the night
north.
We went that way, though, and we got stuck in the DUI checkpoint for 2 hours?
I do remember that, right when you got over the bridge.
Oh.
It was a nightmare. We just avoided one last week, too.
Is that right?
Were you going to make the turn when you get out of work instead of going up a little bit?
I saw it. There was tons of cops doing the DUI checkpoint. It's not a problem for us. Usually when we do the show, we're not drunk. It's later that we're drunk, and our behavior is porous. End of the game here, 123-122. Golden State down, 4 seconds left. Durant at the buzzer, misses, tip, follow, goes. Warriors win. 124-123. The tip goes. Game over. Warriors win. Jazz lose. That's that. A tip in by some no-name Sharebko tipped it in at the buzzer on the miss by Durant. He tipped in the follow, and it fell. Game over. No questions asked.
The new McGee.
They did not cover the 2.5. But at least they won on the money line for me. Durant misses an easy jumper from inside the free throw line from about 13 feet, and then Sharebko got up and tipped it in, and it was clean. It was a complete follow. The red light did not go off. He tipped it in off the glass. It rolled around on the rim and then in and fell before the red light went on. That's a winner for the Warriors. Huge win for them after trailing most of the game. That was a great NBA game. You do not see games that good at all. Not, I mean, that's a playoff game right there.
Not early in the season, usually.
That's how good that was. How about Jarebko with the follow tip? The big fella getting involved. The white boy getting involved.
Put a little time back on the clock here.
Oh, so of course they gave him time. How is there time left? How is there time left?
The NBA.
I guess they went through at .3. So.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. So they have to go the length of the court. Is that, or no, from half court. They just have to throw it in and shoot it, right? Now watch the Jazz win. You got to be kidding me.
I don't know if .3 is enough.
.3, you got to tip it, I think. I think you need, what, .9 for catch and shoot?
I don't know. I'm sure they'll win now. They'll win by 10 with a .03 left in the NBA. The Jazz will win by 10 easily here. I don't know what's going on with your boy there. Iggy's taking his clothes off there on the court. What's that all about? The strip tease there after the tip follow. That's why they're so excited. Not that they won the game. That they're excited because the white boy tipped in the winner. Seriously, they're like, oh, my God, the guy, the least likely guy in the world tipped it in to win the game. That guy is laughing. They're all laughing because he never does anything.
That's right, this is the token big man.
And they've done so much. Like, what is this? This win doesn't mean anything.
But any kind of happiness and laughter
right,
is what they're
so seeing this dude get the winning basket, that's like a, you know, something.
He just became like a member of the team.
That's something fresh for them. You know, it's a new accomplishment.
They're going to ride that guy all night on the plane or wherever the hell they go. Here, watch the inbound. They'll score. Watch. How about Gobert? Throw it up to him for an alley-oop dunk at the rim. Rubio out of bounds. He's going to throw it. You got to throw it to Gobert right now. There it is. Shot. Brick. Warriors win. Maybe they should give him another 5 seconds to run the play again. That's it. Game over. Crowder plays tough for the Jazz, too, by the way. 99 Crowder. They like him. But Jarebko with the tip-in of his life. 124-123, Golden State. Right now, that's the best game I've seen in the NBA in a while. Let's see a game top that in a regular season anytime soon.
That the best game you've seen since game one of the finals.
I mean, that was really good. That was a great game. It was just wild, right? I mean, just back and forth. Crazy game. All right, Jim and Canton, our last hour, taking your calls on any college or pro game. Call me, 855-212-4CBS. Jim.
Uncle Futrelli. Check out. The Warriors learning how to win, finally.
Yeah, I guess they finally turned the corner.
Right. Can I get a shot of that Johnny White Walker?
Can we get him a little shot, a little dabble, do you? Check out.
Hey, man, I got to ask about my Florida State Seminoles, man. If they have their first losing season since 1976, Bobby's first year, do you think Willie Taggart and his turnover backpack need to go?
No, I really don't. I actually believe that, you know, Florida State's going to be fine. I think that, you know, they're obviously 1-3 in the conference. That's a problem, but they're 3-3. They're actually, you know, I think figuring out kind of who they are. I know they should have beat Miami. They blew it. They were up, you know, 27-7 or something, and that was embarrassing flat out. I think that kind of ruined them for the season. Losing a game like that was humiliating. The Syracuse loss was really bad. The Virginia Tech loss equally as bad. But I thought that they played well against easy and you know, Northern Illinois, and then Louisville. The comeback win at Louisville was impressive to me. I think they'll beat Wake's ass tomorrow. That'll be that. And then I think they'll, you know, lose to Clemson. I think they'll lose to NC State on the road. I think they'll lose to Notre Dame in Notre Dame Stadium. They might very well lose to BC at Doak, but I don't think they're beating Florida either. I think their nightmare is just beginning, the more I think about it. The more I look at that schedule, Carver High, the more I think their nightmare is just beginning. I actually think they'll beat Wake and then lose every game they play the rest of the way.
They'll find a way for another one.
Clemson, NC State, Notre Dame, BC, and Florida, they'll lose all of them, every one of them. Mark my words, they're losing 8 games.
Yeah, maybe.
And then, but they still won't fire him. You know why? Because
it's his first year.
They can't keep changing coaches every single year. It's embarrassing.
No, you got it. I've said this to you all the time. You cannot go on a college level by a guy on his first year. He's playing with the old guys' players. You know, I just. You got to let him get his own guys in there.
Curry had 31 and 8 dimes in that game. Chase in Alabama. Chase.
Yeah.
You're on.
Hey, Perrell, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, bro?
Hey, man, I totally disagree with you on your analysis of Florida and LSU and Alabama. Let me ask you this. When's the last time LSU beat Alabama?
Well, I don't know exactly when they beat them, so you got me there. But they've played them tough a bunch of times. I never said that Alabama couldn't beat anybody, and they can beat everybody, and they could beat them. I don't know what you're so disappointed in me for.
Well, then let me ask you this. They've beaten LSU pretty much every game since, like, 2010. I think we're, like, 7-0 in the last eight games, 7-0 in the last eight games.
Who don't they beat? They beat everybody, right? I mean,
yeah,
so.
Well, let me ask you this. But that was without Alabama ever having a premier quarterback. Is that correct?
No, I don't agree with that either. You're saying that Alabama doesn't have a premier quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, they do? So when Hurts was playing and you won every single game but two in the games he started, he sucked?
But here's the point I'm trying to make. Tua will throw for at least 5 touchdowns and will even catch one.
No, please stop. Shut up. Just shut up. He's going to throw for 5 touchdowns in Death Valley. He's going to throw for 5 touchdowns against LSU.
And catch one, he was saying, too.
Yeah, good luck, dude. Go tell your next-door neighbor all your tales. Look, I think Alabama can win the game. All I said was it's going to be a good game. And if anyone has a shot to beat them, it's that game right there. They know it. We all know it. If you don't respect them enough, then don't watch the game. It's in the bag. Take your wife out for lunch, and you don't even have to watch because you're so guaranteed of all your brilliance, and you're never wrong, and you never lose a game. How about when the guy said to me, we never had a good quarterback at Alabama, and now we do. The last quarterback, let me just be clear. Your last quarterback, you guys were all on your knees in a porno movie for him. And then the minute this other kid came along in the national championship game, you forgot about him. He sucks now, this guy, right? He's terrible. You guys are so demented. That's what's wrong with you. You're so sick in the head, demented. He's now your trash. You guys were on your knees in a porno for him for 2 years. Don't kid yourself with all your BS with me. You know, with all your tough guy Alabama BS, okay? Whatever. I'm not listening to it. I'm not. I don't care what you say. In fact, now I'm rooting for LSU in that game. I'm rooting for him like you have no idea.
Now, clearly, Chase does not represent the entire Alabama
fan base. Of course he does.
But he does represent a good portion of them who I cannot believe get so sensitive when all they do is beat everybody. They win every year and they beat everybody. And some of them get so sensitive if you say anything. You didn't even say anything bad. You said Alabama was going to win the game.
I said they were going to win the game. That's
you
not
said
good
it was
enough
be close.
But he
just
disagrees.
Saying the game was going to be close wasn't good enough.
He disagrees with everything I say, but he still calls me.
Sensitive Alabama
fan. Whatever. 855-212-4227. You know what's funny is it's like the guy that called before. He wants to talk about the LSU game with Alabama. He doesn't even recognize they're playing tomorrow.
I lose tomorrow.
Is there anything worse than – and, in fact, I hope they do. I hope they do lose tomorrow, LSU. You know why? Because no one thinks they're gonna. It's just automatic. The game's in the bag. You know, they're lucky that – you know, I won't deny they won the game against Auburn, right? They beat them by 22-21, right? They could have easily lost that game. I mean, Auburn blew the game. So, yeah, I don't care. You know, I'm wrong about Florida, too, as they kick everyone's ass. You know, Florida sucks, too, as they continue to beat everyone. And, of course, you know, now that Georgia's lost, they might as well go back to the drawing board because they're an absolute mess. What a joke they are. You know what they should do? Fire Kirby and, maybe file some paperwork to move to another conference. Maybe they could play in the AAC or something. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it's just Alabama's world. Everyone, you lose a game, you suck, you're horrible, I'm going to puke.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Alabama never loses, I get it. That's great. They've beaten LSU 7 straight times, they own them. Unless I'm mistaken, he did say that the last time they lost to him was, 2011. I think that was, 7 years ago. And then they lost to him the year before that, too, 24-21 in 2010. In 2007, they lost to him 41-34. In 2006, they lost to him 28-14. In 2005, they lost to him 16-13 in overtime. In 2004, they lost to him 26-10. And in 2003, they lost to him 27-3.
Those don't count.
Those don't count. 2002.
Saban, and anything pre-Saban doesn't count.
Yeah, 2002, Alabama won. In 2001, LSU won 35-21. In 2000, LSU beat him 30-28. But, you know, they never beat him ever. I mean, they never beat him ever. So, I mean, just never. They never beat him except for all those, you know, just all the ones I just gave you. Those don't count because, what'd you say, they were all pre-Saban? When did Saban?
2007 was Saban's first year.
There you go. Well, then,
so Saban is 9-3 again.
So his first year there, he lost to him. And then he's only lost to him twice since. But those don't count because it was raining or something. And I think they had finals that week. Whatever. I don't even care. Like, so do you think I sit around? Here's a news flash for you. I actually don't sit around thinking about Alabama ever. But I will say this. I bet with them all the time and make money. And I bet against them all the time and make money. Like the Louisiana cover. That was easy money, too. Thank you. And the Minnesota game. What was that, Ohio State? That was another cover. That's another team that never loses either, right? Ohio State, they never lose. In fact, their coach never does anything wrong, ever. He's an honest Christian. Just a fine, upstanding human being. Tom in Wisconsin.
Roll out the barrel. How about them Brewers? How about a keg? Not just one beer here or something like that. How about a big, just crack open the keg for the Brewers tonight, hey?
I got you. There's your keg. And I'll say this. I sure hope they live up to your lofty expectations tomorrow night in Game 7.
The table is set. The dinner's in the oven. Just wait for the guests to arrive.
Here we go.
Hader for 3 innings tomorrow night. He got their best starter on the mound. Everybody is drunk here. Oh, my God. Council takes a lot of crap from those people on TV. He manages so well.
Who cares? Who cares what the people on TV say about the manager? Do you really care?
No, but it is.
It's funny. Is this another one of these calls like no one respects our team and the announcers are out to get us? And didn't that sound like that to you, Carver? Those stupid announcers are talking bad about our manager.
I think
everybody's against us. We're drunk over here.
I think that's the real issue. Not an issue, but I think that they're all just a little hyped up and blasted tonight after the win up there in Brew Country. And like you said, don't worry about the noise. Win tomorrow, and that's it. See you Tuesday at Fenway.
Well, he sure sounded confident that
He did make one really good point.
That Hader gets to pitch all night.
Hader didn't pitch tonight. He could probably go, you know, 2+ tomorrow. So that's a big weapon for them.
Well, you can guarantee that's going to happen. But don't you think you'll see Kershaw as well in that game? Because I've already heard that they're going to put him out there for a couple innings.
They've done that in the past. They absolutely have.
So do you trust Walker Buehler on the road in a Game 7, a kid? Seriously. Who are you betting on, Carver High? Let's get down to the gist of it.
I'm taking the Dodgers.
There you go.
Night.
Mafia, who are you taking tomorrow night, Game 7? Buehler or Chacin?
I'm going to go Buehler. I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
Dodgers, there you go. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Mary Ellen is hammered in Virginia.
Yeah, I need another Guinness. Yeah.
So what's going on?
I just was wondering who, in light of the last call you got, who do you think is going to give the best competition to Boston between the Dodgers and the Brewers?
Well, I think the Dodgers would give them a better series, to be honest with you, based on their, you know, being there, doing that. You know, they've already gone to the World Series, and here they are trying on the cusp of another one, and all their division titles, 6 in a row, whatever it is, and then LCS is 3 in a row. So they are versed in this, and the Brewers are in diapers. But I think the Brewers have been a very exciting team for 2 months. I predicted they would go to the World Series, and you know, at this point, there's no turning back. I gotta bet on Chassin and the Brewers. I mean, what am I going to do? Tell everyone that I think the Brewers are going to the World Series for 2 months every single night on the show, and then the seventh game, I bet against them? I can't do that. So I'm going to bet on the Brewers to win the game. I think the Dodgers can win the game easily. I'm just going to bet on the Brewers. I think Chassin's stuff is filthy. In fact, I think Buehler throws hard. I'll give you that. The kid brings it. And I think the other guy is a real pitcher. In other words, he's throwing sliders until you're blue in the face, and he throws all of this off-speed stuff and big, giant hook pitches, and he changes speeds like no one's business. He'll throw a fastball, he'll throw the slider, he'll throw a curveball. The guy throws everything like crazy. He's all over the plate. On the outside of the plate, this guy is living on the black on the outside of the plate. His stuff was nasty in the first game he faced him. And I thought he pitched the best game of the series of any pitcher. So I think he's very capable. I think they know exactly what they're getting tomorrow, and they're either going to be able to hit it or they aren't. They know what they're going to see, sliders all day, and I mean boatloads of them. So and then Buehler's going to throw hard. I've never been scared of hard-throwing pitchers if you're, you know, in a big game with major league hitters. I think that guys can see it and hit it. If you're throwing you know, pulling a string on a pitch and you're making the ball move and you're changing speeds, that becomes problematic. That's why Clayton Kershaw is so good. Now, people say he sucks in the postseason, but they didn't say that the other night, did they? When he won 5-2 and nobody could hit him because he's pitching it with the ball on a string. It's like they make the ball dance. You know, another guy that I would always bet on my whole life was Greg Maddux. Was there anyone better at throwing different pitches and different speeds and using the corners and the black and getting away with pitches that weren't even on the plate? Like, he would throw balls that were an inch or two off the plate, he'd still get the call because they're so used to him throwing it perfectly on the black that they would give him the call anyway. Whereas another pitcher would throw that and not get the call and you know, go ape shack on the ump the whole game. They would give it to Maddux. The way he changed speeds. Listen, if Buehler's going to throw super hard all night, but he has all kinds of pitches too. I'm not going to deny Buehler's good. But I'll be honest with you. I'm concerned a little bit about him. He's a kid. I mean, he's just a little kid going out there pitching. And I think Chassin, first of all, let me say this. He's got more innings and a lower ERA than any guy in baseball, and everyone makes more money than him. The guy made $15 million deal the Brewers got him for, and he's been better than every pitcher in baseball with his ERA, strikeouts, and innings in Milwaukee. The guy has been the greatest purchase of any pitcher in baseball this year, bar none. It's that simple, bar none. Look at his numbers. He's got way more innings, way more strikeouts. He's got the lowest ERA. The guy has done everything. And it's really all about in baseball, isn't it? It's about innings and getting outs. That's it, right? The guy that can throw the most innings and doesn't give up runs. ERA, innings, strikeouts, no runs. That's that. He's led everyone. All these guys make $75, $80, $100 million. He's making nothing. And they are just loving life because they got him right where they want him. He's a filthy pitcher that isn't making any money.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. Who do we have here? Cliff Drysdale reporting live, Varel, on the news of a change of the All England lawn and tennis for the Wimbledon Championships next summer here in London near the Big Ben. Of course, the situation has been troublesome for many years that they don't play a final set tiebreaker. Those rules will now change, much to the chagrin of Mr. Kavahai. They will now force a tiebreaker after 12-all in the fifth set, which could also take upwards of 2 days to play the match at 12s.
Well, you guys are getting soft over there, Cliff. It's just that simple. I mean, it's just...
What would you prefer, Mr. Carver? How about another trip to Pennsylvania?
Do you know how many people only turn in when that thing got to, like, 2020? I mean, nobody cared before.
Yeah, do you remember the one, Carver High? Do you remember the one that Isner played for, like, 2 days? And then he played another one. Like, last year he did another one that was, like, 26 to 22 or
something. Gotta have the endurance.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Or What was it? The one he played. He played two of the longest in the history of Wimbledon.
He played this
guy.
One and the year before.
That's just crazy. So anyway, Isner, here we go. It was Anderson and Isner, 26-24. And then the other one that he played, the final set, the Mahut one in 2010, was 70-68. Brad, I can't even believe that you remember those matches, to be honest with you. Have a nice weekend. Cliff Drysdale reporting live. There you go, Carver High. You never thought you'd hear from Cliff.
Not in the middle of October.
This just in, the governor's six-pack of picks coming in late tonight. Michigan State +7 over Michigan. Maryland +9 over Iowa. Ole Miss +3.5 over Auburn. NC State +17.5 over Clemson. Nebraska -3 over Minnesota. And Kentucky -11 over Vanderbilt. I like all of those except Maryland. I don't know about you.
The governor checking in. I believe the governor actually has Wazoo, Oregon on Big Fox tomorrow.
He's up there
night.
Partying right now, tailgating in Pullman. Late night.
Just saw him tweet a pic. He was out getting ready for tomorrow.
Oh, I'll bet he's out getting ready. The governor. I'm a little surprised we didn't have him on. Jimmy Butler booed heavily by his own fans in the Target Center tonight, and then he dropped 33 on their ass. That'll shut him up.
Here's what I don't get. I understand you have a player who wants to leave town, but it's not like he doesn't want to leave because of, like, Minnesota. He wants to leave because he doesn't like the guys on the team.
Because they don't hustle.
Exactly. Like, it's not like he was like, yo, this city sucks. I want out of here. You know, I could get booing him then. I really could.
He said, I want to play with the guys that want to win.
Exactly.
They want to play hard.
So how could you get mad at the guy?
Because fans are idiots.
I have no problem with them having beef with him wanting to leave. My problem is them booing him in the beginning. Fine with that. By the second quarter, they're chanting MVP. Are you kidding me? Pick which side you're on.
Dwight Howard missed the Wizards season opener with a sore ass. Did you hear this story?
I mean, this is another guy. Does it ever end with him either?
It's
always something. There's a reason why this guy has been on, what, 20 teams? And I mean, it's just
he played in 81
ends.
Games last year. And then he missed the first game with a sore buttocks.
And they couldn't wait to get him out of there, though.
Boston ace Chris Sale pitched game one. David Price looks like game two. That's not definitive, but Sale is. Alex Tuck gets an extension in Vegas with the Golden Knights. You've heard of them. 7 years, $4.75 million. It's a lot of money. I think he got like $33 million or something like that. Sidney Crosby says Connor McDavid is easily the NHL's top player. Are you with that as well, Carver High?
Yeah, you probably got to go there right now.
So here's the real or fake story I saw today in ESPN about the from your boy Puck Daddy, who's no longer called that, I don't believe, since he went to ESPN. He said a goal scoring will continue at a historic clip. Through 98 games, the average goals per game for teams is 3.11. And it's the highest scoring season since 95-96 at 3.14. Goalies are complaining about their gear. What are the new rules about goalie equipment? They can't wear as much stuff?
Yeah, they've changed how big the equipment can be.
It says here that Austin Matthews will lead the NHL in scoring. Well, which is it? Is it Connor McDavid's the best or Austin Matthews?
Well, just because Connor's the best doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to lead the league in scoring. I think he probably will. You know, everybody's
That's what
on.
I think.
Everybody thinks Toronto's going to score, you know, 1,000 goals
right.
this year. So, problem is they're going to give up 1,000.
So like, that was a great game they played the other night against the Penguins. New Jersey and Colorado are playoff teams. Do you believe that?
I believe they are, yes.
Is the Red Wings the worst team?
I have not gotten to watch them yet this year. I have obviously haven't heard good things. There's a couple teams that could be in running for that.
John Gibson will win the Vezina?
No, I'm not going there.
The Vegas Golden Knights are not a playoff team.
I'm not going there either.
And the gritty phenomenon will continue to grow. The mascot for the Flyers, I think, is ridiculous.
Yeah, who cares?
I don't care about anyone's mascot. Mafia Luke Rockhold apparently is pulled out of UFC 230 at Madison Square Garden.
That card is a curse. I mean, I'm just waiting for the Lewis or Cormier fight not to get licensed by the athletic commission.
Why don't they just cancel the whole event?
Are we serious here?
Yeah.
Another? Aren't these? Wasn't that supposed to be like the co-main event?
Right.
That was. They moved Jacare up against Weidman.
Ooh.
Now it's just worthless. Dana White says, do not pay attention to Mayweather, Nurmagomedov, boxing talk. It's fake.
Yeah, and he said the same thing for about a year before Conor McGregor fought him.
The pizza spitter guy could get 4 years in jail in Detroit. Remember the guy who hawkered on someone's pizza?
Should get more.
Should get more, right? Crucify him. All right, one other one. Mayweather and DJ Khaled sued over an alleged cryptocurrency scam. They have been hit with a lawsuit for people who claim the stars participated in an illegal cryptocurrency scam that screwed investors out of millions. The coin at the center of the scandal is called CenterTech, and they got influential celebrity endorsers to promote their virtual currency on social media. It turns out that they raised $32 million in backing during their initial coin offering in 2017, thanks in part to these celebs like Mayweather and DJ Khaled. The founders of the company were arrested and are facing several charges, including fraud, securities fraud, wire fraud, and conspiracy charges. Sounds like a really nice deal there you should get involved in if you like losing all of your money with Money Mayweather. Imagine that. Also, he bought $2,000 worth of the Mega Millions lottery tickets. Go figure. Watch Floyd Mayweather wins the lottery. Can you imagine that? That would just be enough to make me go off the deep end if he got some more money. You know what I mean? He's already got enough money, and then he wins the billion-dollar
lottery. How much did he buy?
$2,000 worth. $2,000 worth of tickets.
I mean, for him, that's like a $5 bill in my pocket. So
that's just like going out to dinner.
He would do that,
right? That's literally like a dinner date with. Or how about when he takes his daughter like watch shopping every other week for $30,000?
Yeah, but he doesn't take her around the corner. Like he flies to like Miami.
Yeah. Here we go, Derek in Baltimore. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Derek.
Yeah, Derek. No, not Baltimore. From Louisiana.
All right, sorry. I don't know where you're from. I really don't. At this point, I really don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
Hey, no. Hey, I miss the guy in Alabama caller. You know, I'm so sick of them as well. They're so arrogant and really just ignorant as well. To think that they're just going to roll over LSU is absurd.
They might.
They got to get to Mississippi State first, but. In Death Valley, I don't see it this year. I don't see him rolling over.
Yeah, I think they can beat anybody. They can beat anybody. Let's stop with this. They're not going to beat them. They can beat anybody. They can beat anybody, anywhere, any day. I think, you know, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a really good game at Death Valley, and that's just all I'm going to say about it. It's 3 weeks away, and now we're talking about it as if Alabama's not playing Tennessee tomorrow in Neyland Stadium, and as if LSU's not playing tomorrow at home against Mississippi State. It's just, can you imagine if you tried to bring this up with Nick Saban right now, or frankly, Ed Orgeron, start talking about a game 3 weeks from now? Neither one of them would answer your questions. And in fact, Nick Saban would, he'd rip your head off. Would he not? Would he not verbally assault you if you offended him by asking him about the LSU game today? He would snap on you as sure as I'm sitting here. He's Mr. Friendly, remember? Okay, so let's look at it this way. Tomorrow, Michigan State at Spartan Stadium at noon on Fox. Oklahoma TCU, noon on ABC. Maryland, Iowa, noon on the Deuce. Cincinnati Temple, noon on ESPNU. Illinois, Wisconsin on FS1 at noon. Bama, Tennessee, 3:30 on CBS. NC State, Clemson, 3:30 on ESPN. Colorado, Washington on Fox at 3:30. Penn State, Indiana on ABC at 3:30. They should not let Indiana be on national television at 3:30 on a Saturday on network. They just shouldn't, because they can never win a big game, ever. Do they ever win a game that matters, ever, Indiana? They should not be allowed to be on television, ever. The only channel they should be allowed to be on is the Big Ten Network, which no one gets. I get it, though. I'm sick of watching them lose to everybody. I can't even take them anymore. I went to school there, and I can't stand them. I can't stand them because they suck so bad at football that it makes me angry. I'm angry right now talking about them. Just give me basketball. Thanks. That's why I'm a Canes fan, because I went to Indiana. All you have to do is go to Indiana, and you'll hate football forever because their football team sucks so bad. I don't care what anybody thinks either. It's my alma mater, and I'll still say it till the day I die. Their football program's atrocious, and it always has been, including when Lee Corso was there. He sucked too. Mississippi State LSU at 7 Eastern on ESPN. Central Florida East Carolina at 7 on the Deuce. UConn South Florida 7 on CBS Sports Network. Big game they're carrying there. Ohio State and Purdue at West Lafayette on ABC at 7:30 Eastern. Oregon, Washington State on Fox at 7:30. And then Vandy, Kentucky at 7:30 on SEC Network. Do you notice there's no late night game on for some reason? Is that because the baseball game's on or something? Or basketball? Why is there no 10 o'clock game?
I think
game?
That ESPN has NBA tomorrow night. Lakers,
is that right?
Lakers-Houston.
Oh, there you go.
On ESPN.
That's why they're not showing any games.
Right.
But there's, I know there's games at 10 o'clock on the West Coast.
Yeah, but they're probably, there's probably an FS1 game. Yeah, there's probably stuff like
but
that.
They're not ranked. They're not right. Ranked games. I just want to look at them here because I got them here. You got Fresno, New Mexico at 7:30. You got North Texas UAB. No one would watch. Here it is. USC Utah at 8 Eastern. Arizona UCLA 10:30 on the Deuce. And that's it. That's the late night game. Arizona UCLA, those two terrible programs. Don't forget to, and you heard me when I said that. You can quote me. So don't forget tomorrow, episode 47 of Pharrell and the Bets. Sunday, episode 48, Pharrell and the Bets. Follow me at On the Bets, WWO. Make sure you follow us here at On the Bench, CBS, at Scott Pharrell. The Pharrell on the Bench podcast will come out after this show there and on Facebook and on CBSSportsRadio.com and tomorrow as well. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday night at 10 for the Giants and Falcons for Carver High and Mafia. I'm Pharrell. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.